coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion.
Hey Jeff, hold up bro. I just always wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
That's not funny!
Hello, hello, welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash, and today we are talking about Survivor Worlds Apart, which is a season I'm not the biggest fan of, per se, but it's entertaining enough. It's just, the cast leaves a lot to be desired, as you will see. It's so funny, too, because Jeff Probst kind of went on this, like, apology tour for San Juan del Sur for some reason and was like, oh, no, trust me, guys, this cast is going to be so much better, which, no, it's not, and San Juan del Sur is not a season you should apologize for. That season's really good. Worlds Apart is the season you should apologize for, Jeff Probst, to be honest, but I'm also doing a format change where I'm no longer going to be using clips. I'm sorry. The copyright beast is just too annoying to deal with. I spend so much time remaking my videos over and over again. And it's like I'm just kind of sick of dealing with it. And I don't want copyright strikes against my channel. And I don't want to have to deal with what's been happening, where old videos of mine keep getting copyright struck for things that weren't copyright violations before. But I digress. We will also be doing a format change in the presentation of the order of the characters that I talk about. Before, I was doing it in brute order, as you can tell, but this time I'm going to be doing it from the bottom and going all the way up to my favorite character from my least favorite character, and I think that should be fun. Please let me know what you think of the format changes in the comments. If you hate them, let me know. If you like them, let me know. If you're indifferent, let me know. But without any further ado, let's get right into Worlds Apart. To start this list off, I had to think, who is the king or queen of the unlikable characters? And one name came to mind, and it's obvious that the last place placement goes to Will Sims. YouTube sensation. Yeah, okay. The dude was on a scripted Jay Leno segment designed to look like a viral YouTube video. It was all fabricated, much like Will's personality. He's the exact type of person you would expect to work for somebody as comedically devoid as Jay Leno. He's performatively outlandish and kooky. He's like this basic bitch idea from a corporation of what a fun, outgoing, funny person would be, and you can just see right through the corniness. I feel like Will should be selling me fast food cheeseburgers on a commercial somewhere. He's the guy who got into acting but is not talented enough to actually make it, but enough of a team player to be used for advertising. He's just the fakest, corniest, industry plannish dude ever. When he's not being that, he's usually literally not doing anything, or he's verbally abusing Shireen and telling her she has no soul, like, Damn, dude, can I get some ketchup on those hash browns? Will sucks. He's enjoyable for exactly 1 second when they edit a Wilhelm scream into him flopping down a slide, but outside of that one moment, it's all bad. Bad players have their fans. I, for one, love terrible players, but nobody likes Will. Dead Fish is the best way to describe both Will's gameplay and him as a character, and I thank Shireen for giving me that one. If I saw Will Sims at a party, I would only approach him if I had to fart. I bet his pets don't even respect him. Will Sims sucks. He lasts the entire way and nobody gave a shit. How he managed to get a jury vote, I will never understand. I've described characters as wet farts before, but this is a wet fart that escalates into spraying a shotgun blast of doo-doo feces all over your mom's shower curtains. I bet him and Mac Dawson hang out. Words alone cannot describe how little I respect Will Sims. I respect Natalie Tenorelli more than I respect Will Sims. Boston Rob would have loved this guy. I hope Will Sims catches a disease that doesn't harm him, but it gives him a permanent French-Canadian accent. I want all of his remote controls to stop working periodically, only to start working again with no warning. I hope his next pizza arrives cold. I hope he loses his grocery list and doesn't realize it until he's at the store. I hope all his shirts get wrinkled in the wash. I don't wish harm upon him, I just want him to be mildly inconvenienced, because that's what he did to me. He mildly inconvenienced because I had to write a goddamn paragraph about Will Gosh Dang Sims. I hope the next time he installs a PS5 game, the data corrupts and he has to delete and reinstall it just for that. Will fucking sucks. I'm glad Shireen kept him from getting his loved one's letter. He's going and fuck you. And right above Will, in a whole new tier, we have Max Dawson. I'm gonna get a lot of backlash for this one. A lot of people like Max Dawson. I think he's one of the most annoying people ever cast on the show. He reminds me of those guys who talk about how nerdy they are and their biggest hyperfixations are shit like Star Wars, Marvel, and Game of Thrones. He's the guy who quotes movies at you without adding anything to the joke. His favorite website is Reddit, and he makes up stories about himself for karma. What I'm trying to say is Max Dawson is an unfunny cringelord. He's the guy who brings a game of What Do You Meme to a party. He regularly listens to Little Dicky and 21 Pilots. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan. I can keep going. The only thing he has to drink in his fridge is Diet Coke. He learned how to floss to stay hip. Big Bang Theory was his favorite show, and he doesn't like Young Sheldon as much, but he still watches it. His favorite scary movie was 4. His favorite actor is Chris Pratt. He buys extra mild salsa. He watches TikTok videos on max volume without headphones in the break room. He owns a $200 vape pen. Anyway, he puts his nasty-ass planner's wart feet into a pot of their drinking water and is way too annoying with Shireen, so they had to separate the two, and Max wins the contest of who is more annoying by getting voted off over Shireen before the merge. Good riddance. I'm glad he wasn't chosen for Cambodia. He's really annoying. And now we are getting to the characters that I found bland, and to start off with the blandest of the bland, we have Nina Porsche. If Dale Wentworth was the We Have Roger Bingham at home, Nina is the We Have Christy Smith at home. Holy shit, she's not interesting. I feel sympathy for her when she gets insecure about her disability and thinks she's being outcasted for it. It was kind of a weird hill for her to die on at the moment she reacted to it, since it came off as, "But I wanted to go skinny dipping." It's kind of like, okay, I get what you're saying, but this is an odd straw to break the camel's back, all I'm saying. I don't get Nina's deal. She's just kind of a sad sack. She's in meh. And another character who did absolutely nothing for me, we have So Kim. So Kim prides herself on being a shitty, abusive boss. This corporate pig is the first boot because she's an obvious liar and is immediately shady as fuck. She lies about there being a neutral option in the first journey, and Shireen immediately susses it out. It's a really bad lie. When the hell is there ever a neutral option on Survivor? It's literally all about making tough choices. That's the entire fucking show, you idiot. She tries to target Carolyn, but she blows up her own game and ends the boot instead. So Kim, as far as first boots go, is one of the easiest ones to forget about. If I were to list all of them from memory, So Kim would be one I would have trouble remembering for sure. She's going into meh. And let's keep the bland train rolling. with the person who is probably the blandest person ever to be a returnee for some reason, Haley Ford, Jen's friend who gets booted early merge. She's boring and dull. I will never understand in a million years why she was brought back or why production seems to be so in love with her. I also have to punish her for thinking America was a great name for the tribe. What's wrong with you? Meh. And speaking of bland returnees, next up we have Sierra Dawn Thomas. It's almost impressive how little there is to say about Sierra Dawn Thomas despite making it all the way to the finale. She's a decent enough player, sure, but she was always on the bottom of the Alliance, and if it wasn't for Kelly Remington being idled out, I don't know if she's even part of those plans. Why they bring her back, I will never understand that. I'm sorry if there were any diehard Sierra Dawn Thomas fans out there for some reason, but she's going right into me. And slightly more memorable, but not by much, we have Joaquin Subirbeel? I don't understand French names. He's immediately on the outs of the White Collar Tribe when So is voted out. He's a decent enough player. He seems to be well integrated on that original White Collar Tribe, and when they swap, Rodney immediately takes a liking to him and wants to work with him. However, Mike viewed him as a threat to his alliance with Rodney. Joachim isn't much of a character and is rather forgettable if you don't immediately recognize his slick back hair. He's going into meh. And to continue to climb up the bland ladder, we next have Kelly Remington. Kelly gets her head gashed open during a challenge, and it's pretty gross, but she takes it like a goddamn champ. Compare that to Baylor slightly cutting her lip. Just saying. Kelly had a lot of potential to make a far run. A lot of people who made it far wanted her in their plans, and Mike even throws a challenge to save her. She's respectable as a great player who got idled out before she could cause any real damage, and I can see liking her on that alone. I just find her to be a little bland in the personality department, and as far as merge boots go, she's incredibly forgettable, and her boot gets overshadowed even by Jen's idol play. We all remember the idol play. We all forget who went home. I can't justify taking her out of meh. And finishing off the bland tier with the best of the bland, we have Tyler Fredrickson. Tyler is a prototype for the quiet nerd we will see a lot more of on Survivor. He doesn't add a whole lot to the season, he's just kind of there. He's somewhat interesting due to his subdued nature and strategical mind, but not really interesting enough for me to say that I like him. I just kind of tolerate him. He's there and he just barely meets expectations, but it's not nearly enough to take him out of meh. Now we are getting to the rootable tier, and to start off this tier is someone who barely made it in, and that is Lindsay Cascaden. Lindsay could have been cool. I love hairdressers by default, but Lindsay, as great as she can be, does have a scene where she makes me very uncomfortable. Listen, I have no dog in the grand theism debate that is religion, but the way she tried to cut down Mike by attacking his belief in God was really shitty. Something I dislike about certain types of atheists is their tendencies to view religious people as dumb or lesser and to paint them all with the same brush, but if you ask me, I feel like existence is a terrifying concept, and whatever you need to do to make you feel alright right in your own skin is completely valid, and your business and yours alone, and nobody should ever make you feel small for being you. Some may find comfort in chaos. If you really need to believe there's an order, that's fine too. Believing in something makes it real to you. Reality is subjective anyway, as long as you're not hurting anyone, who gives a shit? So, for Lindsay just to shit on Mike's coping mechanism, I found that to be a tad egregious. I mean, I don't view her as a bad person for it. It was in the heat of the moment, and I don't think she quite understood how fucked up it was for her to say. However, I can't not knock her for it, since it's a reason a lot of people really don't like Lindsay, and it's completely understandable. I found her to have potential despite that horrible social faux pas. I love the way that she mocked Dan right to his face. I wish we were able to have more of that dynamic. They're almost like an old married couple. It's great. However, Lindsay ends up as one of the more forgettable people in the season, but I still kind of liked her at the end of the day, and I liked her standing up for herself to Rodney being a total douche. She's at least going in mildly entertaining towards the bottom. And next up, we have one of three very controversial figures that are still left to be talked about, but here we have Joe Anglim. Joe's rapport with the Survivor community has not been great as of the last couple years due to his extreme political beliefs, but I'm not here to judge him for that. My job here is to judge him as a character on the season. Only Michael Scoopin is getting the Scoopin treatment, as I said. Immediately, you're drawn by his good looks and charming personality, and I totally understood why the Survivor community fell in love with him at the time on this season, enough to warrant two returns. He's just beautiful and easy to root for if you don't ask him his opinions on the Capitol riots. He doesn't really do much, his gameplay is basically non-existent, he plays a very Aussie game where he just bangs on his challenge abilities to get him through the game, and if there's anyone whose challenge prowess is comparable to Aussie, it's for sure Joe. The dude's a natural when it comes to the challenges, and goes on an immunity and reward win streak until he finally loses and gets voted out. Him idol hunting with Tyler is fun, and so is him using his jewelry designer expertise to make a fake idol. Joe isn't bad at all on this season, aside from being a little milquetoast. He at least goes in Golden Boy. Continuing into the rootable tier, we next have the winner of the season, Mike Holloway. You know Mike's winning the game once Joe is gone, thanks to Jeff Probst spoiling the season by saying it has one of the most likable winners. Mike eating the scorpion was a nice little introduction to Mike. He then leads his team to a comeback immunity win and starts off on top of his tribe. Mike's enjoyable enough throughout his run, and he's almost like a Tony Light where he's just running around all paranoid looking for idols and spying on people from a tree. His voice also changes a lot for some reason. He goes from his signature gravel voice to a somewhat normal voice and it throws me off. He then starts to annoy me. His happy dance was a little humorous at first, but he kept trying to make it his thing, and it's super corny, like he does it three times. His antics at the auction have to be some of the worst gameplay by a winner I have ever seen. He goes against his word in the worst way and reneges on it anyway, so he doesn't even get the benefit of his move to keep his money in the first place because he spent his money anyway, and then he doesn't get the advantage he wanted. Look at that. He then blows up the alliance in a way that just annoys the shit out of Rodney and accomplishes nothing. And from then on, he needs to win immunities and find idols in order to stay alive until he immunities his way all the way to the end and wins just because Mama C came off his cold and Will was a dead fish. He just becomes this guy way past his expiration date and winning over much better social players. Rarely would I describe winners as undeserving, but come on, the dude should have went out at 8. Mama C or Rodney should have won the game realistically, but that's what makes Survivor Survivor. Sometimes people on the bottom rise up to the top. Mike did that, and it's entertaining in a way, even if winning immunities to save yourself every round is my least favorite winning path. Mike is just serviceable enough, and he's not bad as, say, like, a Bob Crowley, and he lands in mildly entertaining. And funnily enough, within the same tier, we go from the winner to literally the second boot in Vince Sly. As a coconut vendor, he seeks truth. One of the most ridiculous lines in this series. Vince is a trip. He has this little schoolboy crush on Jen and gets jealous because he thinks she likes Joe more than him. He has this coach vibe to him, and I can tell that is exactly why he was cast. He sees Joe as a threat to his status on the tribe, and he gets that big move itch and wants to vote out Joe. Unfortunately, he is not very good socially, unlike Coach, and he becomes the boot after sketching out Jen and failing to earn Will's trust. He's definitely one of the more memorable pre-merge boots of the season, and while I would love to put him in a Drew Christie tier of character, he really doesn't do enough crazy shit to elevate him to that tier. Instead, he goes into fun downfall for being a hilariously bad social player. Now we have reached the great character tier, and I'm sure some of you are screaming at your screen that I haven't named this character yet, but we have Dan Foley. A lot of people hate Dan Foley. A lot of people call him problematic, sexist, abusive, and I'm here to live up to my namesake and justify putting him up this high. I am a fat guy is one of my favorite lines in the entire show, let alone just this season. He spews a lot of ignorant bullshit and is an obnoxious force on the season, and that's why most people would expect me to put him in fuck you tier, But I think he's just a big dumbass, and it's hilarious. I don't think it's even possible to take Dan seriously. The guy's just a straight-up clown. And the way he talks, like, the way he has to enunciate every single word, like it is so important, is absolutely hilarious, and the guy just makes me laugh. He's a guilty pleasure. I can see people being upset at me for not completely chastising Dan, but he fits so well with this cast of assholes. Nobody respects Dan, and they shouldn't. But I can't be mad at the guy. When he says, "I am adopted child," and comparing just the fact that he was adopted to Shireen's domestic abuse and not understanding how it's not the same thing, how you can take anything the dude says with any semblance of sobriety, I just don't understand. I just don't get upset at the guy's idiocy. It's maybe just me. He's a Redditor. He's a guy who thinks he's way smarter than he actually is. He puts his foot in his mouth constantly, and it's consistently mocked and ridiculed by both the cast and the editing. Unlike Will, the guy actually does stuff too. He's so bad that he's good, but I can see not finding any enjoyment in his antics. But I personally do. Be mad if you want, but to me he's Homer Simpson meets the comic book guy, and I gotta put him in hilarious. And let's keep up this train of justifying putting problematic people this high in Rodney Laveau Jr. I can't believe I'm washing dishes on my birthday. How is it that two of the greatest lines in Survivor history came from this season? A lot of people don't like Rodney. For a very good reason. He's an asshole. He's sexist as hell. Like, openly and unapologetically. And he doubles down on it. He's grade A chauvinist, like Sean Connery tier. However, that being said, he has this Clay Jordan problem where he's fucking hilarious and he makes me laugh, so it kind of makes me like him, despite being an awful person. He says it's cool that Lindsay expresses herself with tattoos only to say she looks like Mike Tyson whenever he's mad at her. He goes on these sexist rants about how women should hold themselves at a higher standard than men, and it's great watching Lindsay verbally put him in his place. However, I have a horrible weakness where I will overlook shitty things about you if you make me laugh, and I will accept all abuse and criticism thrown my way about me praising Rodney as a character. It's fine. His impression of Mike is so spot on. It's incredible, and it cracks me up every time he does it. He was even asked to do it on the red carpet at the Survivor reunion. It's just so good. Him calling Dan Harry Potter Grandpa is one of the best Survivor insults, and he just has so many good lines. Mike then outs the alliance publicly, and Rodney and Mike are then the two main rivals of the Merge Tribe. Rodney is targeting Mike every round, but Mike avoids being the boot each time, either through immunity or idle plays. Mike is just better at him at challenges, and it's hilarious how much angrier Rodney gets with each reward loss. He's yelling about having to wash dishes on his birthday and calling the tribe scumbags and channeling his inner Judge Sargent. It's an East Coast thing. We're hotheads. Rodney is an enjoyable douchebag. Even though he's from Boston, he brings this Jersey Shore vibe to the season, and it's fun seeing the guy fail in the end. It's karmic. He easily could have won the season if he made it to the end, but the thorn in his side, Mike, would not let that happen. This Italian loudmouth talks his way into hilarious. Now, getting out of the icky muck of that guilty pleasure part of Great Tier, I am getting to the actual likable people on this season, and starting that off, we have Carolyn Rivera. Carolyn should have won. Carolyn is an extremely underrated player. She has the Sandra-type gameplay of staying back and just observing everyone else and moving accordingly. It even earns her an immunity idol in the first round. I love how annoyed she gets by Max Dawson, too. She's well integrated with the original white-collar tribe, and when it becomes the Merge, she positions herself into the blue-collar alliance, and she ends up running the whole game that way. And she's being viewed as just as important to the alliance as any of the blue-collars. She loses her main ally in Tyler, but I think that's to her benefit. She does not play a perfect game. She can come off as cold and uncaring the most, and that's how the jury seemed to view her. Had she had a Michaelis Final 3, it's possible she could have beat Rodney and Will in the end. Her nickname was Mama, after all. It's not like she was disliked. Carolyn Rivera isn't the most dynamic character in the world, or even the best player, but coupled with a cast of unlikable people and her being one of the few not-so-bad ones, she ends up as one of the best characters all the season. Carolyn is a great character. She runs the game and is this cunning and ruthless mom who isn't afraid to get blood on her hands. I like her enough to put her in entertaining. Now, moving on to the top two characters, which I went back and forth on, but at number two, we have Shireen Oskui. It's kind of hilarious watching me try to say some of these names, but anyway, bottomless dishwashing is a lot more endearing than it should be. Shireen is just Richard hatching it up, letting that bush breathe as Tyler goes all Waylon Smithers and covers his eyes. Her getting really excited about seeing two howler monkeys boink is wonderful, and I love how annoyed Carolyn gets at her. Shireen is viewed as just as annoying as Max to the rest of the White Collar tribe and to her Swamp tribe, but I think she has more than enough positive qualities and great content that put her way above Max Dawson as far as how much I like them as a character. Shireen annoyed her tribes, but she didn't annoy me. Instead, I just felt sympathy for her. Her opening up about domestic abuse tearing her family apart brings a lot of depth to her character, and her being absolutely verbally attacked by Will was so uncalled for. It made me feel a whole deal of sympathy for Shireen. She didn't deserve any of that. Yeah, she may have annoyed everyone, but there's way worse things you can be than annoying. You can be Will. She brings so much to the season and is one of the few genuinely likable members of the cast for me. Her jury speech is also incredibly emotional. I just love how excited she is to be there, and she's definitely going in delightfully crazy. And now, on to my favorite character of the season, which surprised me too, but it is Jen Brown. Jen is probably the most likable person on this cast. She may have wanted to quit at one point, but she still has less blotches on her resume than pretty much everyone who made the merge. Her dealing with Vince's puppy love is hilarious, and I'm so glad that she said, "Don't hug me, we smell bad," because yeah, every time I see a big group hug by a tribe after a challenge win, all I can think of, God, that must smell awful. It's so gross, and I love that Jen is, I think, the first person since Jeff Probst and Palau to comment on the stinky aspect of it all. That would be all I'd be thinking about, is how gross my undeodorized damp armpits are. Jen is a lot of fun. She's like a stand-in for the audience and complains about how much this cast sucks most of the time. Her getting stung in the crotch by a bee during an endurance challenge is one of the most hilariously tragic misfortunes I can think of to happen during a challenge. Jen is just fun. She may not be the most dynamic character in the world, but she for sure brought me the most joy out of this entire season. She made me like her the entire time, which is a lot more than I could say for the rest of the cast. I really like Jen, and she is going into hilarious. And that was Survivor Worlds Apart. It was not as bad as I thought it would be. The cast isn't the worst in the world. While it doesn't have any real breakout star that you can think of and point to as, yes, that is the character from Worlds Apart that I remember, it's not a terrible season. And it gets really underrated by the Survivor community when I think it's more of a middle-of-the-road season. It has its plus, it has its downs. It's not boring, at least. That's something you can't say about it. It's not a Nicaragua where it's boring chaos. It's fun chaos. Not as fun chaos as, say, Gabon. You know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But it's still pretty entertaining, and I enjoyed it. That being said, Jen being the top-rated character from this season for me is kind of hilarious, being that I don't like her that much. Like, she's still gonna be, like, pretty low on my overall rankings. Like, I don't think she's breaking the top 100 as the list looks as is. But I will go on to say that, yeah, I'd stick by Jen being my choice for number one. Shireen's good, but I don't know. I just think Jen is all around more likable than the rest of the cast. And I'm really curious to see what the reaction to my placement of Max will be. Will people agree, or will people be like, no, you're way too harsh on Max, which, no, I don't think I was. Anyway. Next on the docket, we have Survivor Cambodia, and we are almost to a point where I'm going to be releasing the current state of the list, the way I did after Micronesia. I thought I would do it after every 16 seasons, so once it's Korong after that, yep, Going to release the list. Should be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of work, but it's going to be a lot of fun. But Cambodia is a season that I'm not too high on as the rest of the community. I like great characters, and I feel like Cambodia is just high levels of gameplay all the time, and that there's not a lot of room for character work, and nobody's being kooky, and nobody's having bad social faux pas that are fun to watch, and it's just high-level, intense gameplay all the time, which can be a little overstimulating for me personally, but I'm excited to return to the season, see if I have changed my opinions on it. I mean, I've changed my opinions on plenty of seasons. Maybe my second view of Cambodia will make me appreciate it that much more. I feel like you don't know how you really feel about a Survivor season until you've seen it twice anyway. And if you made it this far, thank you so much for watching. You are awesome, and I hope to see you in Cambodia, and please tell me if you like the format change. Goodbye.